Abba, I come before you in humility. I know that everything I am and everything I have comes from you. And yet, you are mindful of us, and you've chosen to love us, and I confess I don't fully understand that, Lord. I pray that you would anoint me to speak the words of your Holy Spirit today. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, for you are my strength and my Redeemer. Amen. Well, several weeks ago now, I spoke on the kingdom and dominion. And last week, I spoke about the kingdom and colonization. And now this week, I'm going to talk about the kingdom and ambassadors. Now, every kingdom, and including the kingdom of heaven, has to have certain characteristics. And I'm going to compare what an earthly nation or kingdom has and what the corresponding thing would be in the kingdom of heaven. The first thing a kingdom or a nation needs is a king or a ruler. And in the kingdom of heaven, that's ultimate authority. Ultimate authority. A nation needs also to have territory. And in the kingdom, we call it domain. Most nations or kingdoms have a constitution. But in the kingdom of heaven, we have covenant. A nation has citizens. In the kingdom of heaven, we have status as heirs. A kingdom or a nation offers privileges to those who are its citizens. In the kingdom of heaven, the heirs receive benefits from the Lord. A kingdom has laws. In the kingdom of heaven, we have principles that are more true than laws of any nation. Nations have economy. Our heavenly kingdom has provision. Nations have a military. Our heavenly kingdom has angelic protection. Nations have a code of ethics. And we have an ethical lifestyle or culture in the kingdom of heaven that's based on the moral truths of God. And nations and kingdoms have taxes and spending, but in the kingdom of God, we have sowing and reaping. Now, how does this apply to ambassadors? Well, let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 through 20. For the love of Messiah compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and for them who died for them and rose again. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we have known Messiah according to the flesh. Yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Messiah, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Yeshua the Messiah, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Messiah, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Messiah. As though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Messiah's behalf, be reconciled to God. Reconciliation is a process by which God and man are brought together again. And this is made possible through the blood of Yeshua, which demonstrates the power and the model for reconciliation. As children of God and joint heirs with Yeshua, we are enjoined to follow the standard that he left for us, to be reconciled to God and with each other, as he reconciled us to God. as we model this ministry of reconciliation, the world will be impacted and we will be ambassadors for Messiah by modeling reconciliation, by loving one another. Now, as ambassadors for Messiah, we live in one world, the natural realm here, but we represent another, the kingdom of heaven. An embassy is the headquarters of an ambassador and his or her staff. It's actually considered to be a sovereign territory or under the domain of the nation it represents rather than the nation in which it is physically located. So it is with us. As ambassadors of the kingdom of heaven, we're in one domain, but we're representing another. Let's look at Joshua 1, verse 3. The Bible promises that every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you. So we're in the world, but we're representing the kingdom of heaven, and God has promised us that every place the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you. Now, just as ambassadors of the United States or any other country have an income and a lifestyle based on the standard of living that this nation has, regardless of what nation they're serving in, so also ambassadors of the kingdom of heaven live according to the economy of heaven. We live according to the economy of heaven. Though we're still on earth, all of our king's resources are at our disposal to carry out his will. Let's look at Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, I'll start in verse 26. Look at the birds of the air, or some translations say, consider the sparrow. For they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon, in all his glory, the richest man who ever lived on earth, was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the other nations seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So we live on earth in a natural domain, and yet the kingdom of heaven and all the king's resources are at our disposal to carry out his will, and we live according to the economy of heaven, by seeking first his kingdom and his righteousness in all things that we do. Finally, as an ambassador, the military of the kingdom that I represent is at my disposal to help me carry out the king's orders. If, as a representative of a nation, my life were to be threatened, all of the government's military might is prepared to do whatever is necessary to protect and deliver me. And so it is with heaven's angelic host. In Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 14, it says, are they not all ministering spirits, meaning the angels, sent forth to minister to those who will inherit salvation? Are not all the angels ministering spirits sent forth to minister to those who will inherit salvation? The saints, those who believe in Yeshua. Now in Philippians 3:20, turn there quickly. Philippians 3:20, it says, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly await for the Savior, the Lord Yeshua, the Messiah. So we have the privilege of representing heaven in the world as ambassadors so that we might bring a manifestation of heaven to this world. So the question is, how are we supposed to accomplish that? It sounds really nice. It looks good on paper. But how are we going to accomplish that? Well, I hope I'm going to be able to tell you. In his book, When Heaven Invades Earth, Pastor Bill Johnson said, there is a difference between immediate and ultimate goals. Success with an immediate goal makes it possible to reach an ultimate goal. But failure in the immediate prevents us from reaching our final goal. And listen to this now. Salvation was not the ultimate goal of Messiah's coming to earth. It was the immediate target. Without accomplishing redemption, there was no hope for the ultimate goal, which was to fill each born-again believer with the Holy Spirit. Okay, the original disciples had been with Yeshua for 3 years. They'd heard his teachings on the kingdom. They'd seen all the miracles that he performed. And yet, when he was ultimately crucified, they were confused. They didn't really know what was going on. But if you'll turn with me to Luke chapter 24. First, I'm going to read verse 32. This is two of the believers are on the road to Emmaus, and a stranger comes and walks with them. They don't realize it's the resurrected Yeshua. But when they do realize it, after he'd vanished from their sight, it says in verse 31, they said to one another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us? You see, they had been with Yeshua for 3 years, and they still didn't understand the scriptures. They didn't understand what he was trying to tell them about how he fulfilled the things that they'd read about the Messiah. And let's look at verse 44 now. Then Yeshua said to them, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. Now remember, some of these disciples were fishermen. Some were tax collectors. They were blue-collar guys. A lot of them were not scholars, and they didn't really understand the scripture. Some of us, in my lifetime, for the first 50 years or so, I didn't understand the scriptures. I was blinded to the New Testament. I couldn't read it. I couldn't comprehend it. But when I received the Holy Spirit and was born again, God gave me instant understanding of what I was reading in the scripture and the ability to read it. This is what they're talking about here. Verse 46, then he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Messiah to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. Now listen, this is the important verse. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, that's the Holy Spirit, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. Endued with power from on high by the promise of the Father. Now turn to Acts chapter 2 and we'll see how this fulfills. Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 1. When the day of Shavuot, Pentecost, had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues of fire, and one sat on each of them. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. It was after they were filled with the Holy Spirit that the apostles began demonstrating the power in their ministries, and they truly became ambassadors of the kingdom of heaven. In verse 41 of Acts chapter 2, Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. Peter received the power of the Holy Spirit. He spoke boldly in the square, and 3,000 people were saved in one day. Verse 46. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. Well, why is that important? Well, there were people from all over the world. Some of them were Greek, some of them were Gentile, some pagans, some of them were Jewish. And Jewish people could not eat even or sit at the same table with other people from other nations and other religions because those people were considered unclean. The fact that they were breaking bread and eating together means that the power of the Holy Spirit had changed them in their hearts and they were able to have fellowship with each other. And in verse 47 it says, they're praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. So one of the things that happens when you're filled with the Holy Spirit is you're endued with power from on high. And that leads to many, many, many people being saved. And the second key is that they speak the word with boldness. Turn to Acts chapter 4, verse 23. It says, and being let go, this is Peter and John they're talking about, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. So when they heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord. That's the third time now it's said with one accord. Do you think it's important to be in unity, to have the power and the boldness to get what God has been calling us to do as ambassadors for his kingdom accomplished? It seems that they wouldn't mention it in Scripture three times in just a couple of verses if it weren't crucial. So we need to be in one accord. I mean, unity is so important. And the devil's primary strategy in making the church ineffective, at least in the West, has been division and disunity. And the only way we're going to overcome that is to sit down and fellowship and break bread together and forget our differences the way the Jews were able to sit with the Greeks and the Gentiles from other nations in the first century and forget their differences, not worry about who's clean and who's unclean, but everyone loves Yeshua. And that makes us brothers and sisters and we can eat and fellowship together. So when they heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, you are God who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the mouth of your servant David have said, why did the nations rage and the people plot vain things? The kings of the earth took their stand and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Mashiach, his Messiah, his anointed one. They quoted Psalm 2, verse 27. For truly, against your holy servant Yeshua, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word, by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Yeshua. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled, that means saturated, with the Holy Spirit. And they spoke the word of God with boldness. It was after this that walking down the street, even the shadow of Peter and John falling on a sick person healed them instantly. With great power, it says in verse 33, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Yeshua, and great grace was upon them all. Now, the Lord wants ambassadors filled with his Holy Spirit, operating in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and speaking boldly the gospel message, because that is going to reveal the unseen God to the world. Coming to church on Sunday or Saturday and praying and worshiping and going home as if nothing has changed is not going to impact the world. Operating in the gifts of the Holy Spirit and seeing people healed and changed and delivered and set free is going to change the world. That's the kind of ambassador the king in our kingdom is looking for. Now, the very next thing is that, you know, we are going to encounter warfare if we go out as ambassadors for the king. It's not warfare in the conventional sense with tanks and bullets and guns. It's spiritual warfare. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 4. Those of you who are so desirous. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. This great apostle says, "Therefore, since Messiah suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind. For he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his life in the flesh for the lusts of men, but for the will of God." What does it mean to arm yourself with the same mind as Messiah? What does that mean? Well, let's look at Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, starting in verse 5. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Messiah Yeshua, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every other name, that at the name of Yeshua every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Yeshua Messiah is Lord to the glory of God the Father." You know, if we're going to have the same mind as Yeshua, we need to humble ourselves. In Matthew chapter 16, he said, "Those who try to save their own life will lose it, but those who lose their lives for me will gain life eternal." And he taught that the first among you has to be the servant of all. He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." Being meek doesn't mean that you're a coward or that you can't stand up for yourself. Being meek means that you have a humble heart and a humble spirit, and you're not trying to exalt yourself above other people, but you're trying to exalt God, and that everything that you do is for His honor and His glory, and not to glorify or bring attention to yourself. And being poor in spirit just means that you realize how much you need the Lord, that you need His Spirit operating in your life, because without His Holy Spirit, we are truly spiritually bankrupt on our own. It doesn't mean that you're destitute or that you are to be pitied. It means that you understand that there's a better, superior reality that you can walk in, the reality of being indwelled by God's Holy Spirit and being an ambassador for His kingdom here on earth. Instead of suffering with the rest of the people on earth, not knowing God and not having any hope, we walk victorious with hope in our hearts all the time. It's a superior way to be. And we need to manifest that, not only in ourselves and each other, but in other people that we meet. Now, another way that we can arm ourselves with the same mind as Yeshua is found in Romans 12. Romans 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, which happens when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We have to be yielded to God's will and allow Him to transform us and sanctify us so that we can be ambassadors for His kingdom. Now, the last place I want to look in this part of our discussion is Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6, starting in verse 10. Finally, brothers and sisters, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith with which you can be able to fire, to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Now in 1 John chapter 5, it says, this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. And here it says, the shield of faith will allow you to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. And Paul says, also pray for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Now, God needs His ambassadors to not only be armed with His armor, but to be intercessory prayer warriors, praying always with prayer and supplication in the Spirit, as it says in verse 18. We can pray for events happening in the world, and we can change the outcome of those events. We can pray to influence governments and ideologies, and our prayers will have influence. We can pray for healing and deliverance and for those in need, and people will be healed and delivered, and their needs will be met. We can pray for salvation for the lost, and many of the lost will be saved. And we can pray for each other, and we can lift each other up in prayer, and we can make each other strong by our prayers and our fellowship. Ambassadors with these tools, humility, filled with the Holy Spirit, armed with the armor of God, and being an intercessory prayer warrior, believing that their prayers are going to be answered and that their prayers will have an impact, will surely help colonize earth for heaven. And they will be obedient to Yeshua's command, and they will get down on their knees and they'll say, Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come and your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. That's the kind of ambassadors I believe our King is looking for. Father, I pray that by the power of your Holy Spirit, we will all become worthy ambassadors for your kingdom. People of strong faith, filled with your word, having the mind of Yeshua to serve with humility, yet boldness to pray and intercede for each other, the lost, and even the entire world. I pray that we would all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of our Savior Yeshua, to spiritual maturity, demonstrating the love of God in a world sorely in need of it. Thank you, Abba Father. Thank you, Lord Yeshua. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you who have begun a good work in us will be faithful to complete it. And I pray all this in the mighty, awesome, holy name of Yeshua our Messiah. Amen.